Hello, and welcome to the podcast for Christ Community Church in Oak Ridge, Tennessee. This is the message given by Tom Job on Good Friday, March 29,
2013. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, the first verse says, "This is the beginning of the good news about Jesus Christ, the Son of God." And then when you get to the seventh verse of the first chapter, there's this person, and he just kind of bursts onto the scene. And he's telling everyone to be ready because the King of all the universe was coming. And then he met Jesus. And then, by verse 14 of chapter 1, that same person, John, was arrested. And the person who had him arrested was extremely cruel. And I'm sure he was beaten. And he was sentenced. And so he got some of the people that were visiting him in prison, and he asked them to go to Jesus and ask him, "Is it really you?" Because I'm sure he was thinking, how could I've been arrested, and I've been beaten, and I've been sentenced. How could you be a king? The word arrested is a word that's found, it's a word that means to be delivered over. It's found in the Gospel of Mark 20 times. Jesus was delivered over by Judas to the priest. The priest, Mark said, delivered him to the Gentiles. Mark said that they delivered him to Pilate, and Pilate delivered Jesus to be crucified, which wasn't any problem for him. He was a Spanish person. He was known as the Butcher of Sevilla. One time, when he was doing a processional of himself into the city of Jerusalem, and there were banners and trumpets and his soldiers and walking in rows, and he had an emblem of the emperor, which to the citizens of Jerusalem was extremely offensive. So they started throwing rocks. So he had his soldiers point at the crowd and shoot arrows at them. One time he raided the temple in Jerusalem, the treasury, because he wanted money to help pay for the aqueduct that they were building in Spain and Segovia. And his secret agents learned that there was going to be a protest. And so he had his agents dress as citizens of Jerusalem. And then in the midst of the protest, at the right signal, they took out knives and began stabbing people. He was happy to have someone crucified if it could, you know, keep them happy. They had an agreement that they would bring someone, and because they couldn't sentence him. And so Pilate said, "Sure, no problem." There was a problem. His wife had a dream. And after he was gone for work and to have this, you know, this encounter with this person, she sent him a note and said that she had had a dream about this righteous person. And she said, "Don't have anything to do with this." And I don't know whether it's when he saw Jesus and it was just the way Jesus, like when people saw him and it just stopped your, it just stopped you. And so when the people, the authorities of the city who had Jesus, and they said, "Here's the criminal." And Pilate said, "What charges do you bring against him?" And they said, "What? Here's the criminal." And they just, you know, wink. And Pilate was like, "What charges do you bring against them?" And they're like, "If he wasn't a criminal, we wouldn't have brought him." What are we supposed to say? What do you want us to say? And Pilate took Jesus, and he began to talk to him. And he said, "Are you a king?" Because it's like Pilate was kind of a king, sort of. He was a governor. He wasn't really a king, but he was kind of a king. And he knew kings. He knew the most powerful king in the world. He was thinking, you know, kings wear imperial robes. They wear royal robes. You wear robes of peasantry. And in just a few moments after that, Jesus would wear robes of mockery. And after that, he would be stripped naked. And Pilate's like, "That's not how a king looks." And Pilate's like, "I live and I sleep in palaces. You're basically homeless. You sleep on the ground. That's not how a king lives." And Pilate said, "I can sentence you." You're about to be sentenced. You're about to be sentenced to a beating that often people died from. It was a beating so cruel that it would take off the person who was being beaten. It would take off their skin. It would take off their muscles. You could see sometimes their ribs. Sometimes you could see their organs. And he was about to be sentenced to being stripped naked and nailed in such a way that he couldn't get down. And the only way he could breathe would be to stand on the nail that was nailed into his feet. And that's what he would have to do until so much blood came out that his heart wouldn't be able to keep up because there wouldn't be enough blood to carry oxygen to his body. And so his breathing would become very, very fast. And he would have to do that thing where he stood up on his feet. He would have to do it a lot. And his heart would become filled with fluid. And in front of other people, naked and broken, he was going to be asphyxiated to death. And Pilate is thinking, "This is not how a king looks. It's not how a king lives. This is not how a king rules. How could you be a king?" John is like, "How could he be a king? I'm arrested and beaten and sentenced." And Pilate is like, "How could you be a king? You've been arrested. You're going to be beaten. And you're going to be sentenced." In the Gospel of Mark, there is, when our Lord was nailed to that cross, the Gospels tell us that there were seven things that he said, the seven words of our Lord. He might have said more, but these are the ones that were written. The Gospel of Mark only includes one. Mark says that Jesus, as he was bleeding to death, cried out in a loud voice, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" That is actually the first line of a song that they knew. We know it as Psalm 22, but it was their hymnal, and it didn't have numbers to them. They knew the name of the song by the first line of it. That was the name of the song, "My God, my God, Why have you forsaken me? Sometimes in the Bible it says that when people were saying things like angels in the outside of Bethlehem, and they said glory to God in the highest, but we know that they were singing. I wonder if Jesus began singing that song. There weren't many Jewish people there. But as they, if he was singing that song and they heard him singing, the melody, the words, they might have, you know, if you hear a melody, you know, like my country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. But if a British person hears that melody, they think, God save our glorious queen. God save the noble queen. God save the queen. May she enforce our laws and ever give us cause to sing with voice and heart. God save the queen. They might have been singing along with our Lord a song that they knew. And it's a song that says, from this dark day, the King is going to rule to the ends of the earth. And he's going to rule over nations, and a people yet unborn are going to bow to him. And this is how he will do it. These are his royal robes. That song says that they will strip me and they will gamble for my clothes. And this is how the king lives. He said, you, O God, will lay me in the dust of death. And this is how he rules. If Jesus sang that song, it was already 1,000 years old. And 300 years before crucifixion was even invented. 600 years before the Romans adopted it and perfected it. The song says, they have pierced my hands and my feet. It's a song that says, there was never a moment when I was more in control of the destiny of men and women and boys and girls and kings and queens than this moment. And it looks like a cross to you, but there was never in the history of all the world a throne more powerful than this. How could he be a king exactly like this? It was all a plan. It was all a plan. That doesn't mean that it didn't hurt. In the Gospel of Luke, it said that before our Lord was arrested, he was in an olive grove and he knelt down. The Gospel of Matthew says that he fell down. The Gospel of Mark said that he became deeply troubled and disturbed. And Mark said he kept falling down, and it was like he was rolling around in the ground. And it says in the book of Hebrews, chapter 5, that he was screaming loud cries and tears. Just because it was a plan, it didn't mean that it wouldn't hurt. And just because it was a plan, it doesn't mean that we understand it. You know, I understand. We understand as much as we can that God, I mean, sometimes I wonder, why couldn't God just forgive us? But apparently he couldn't. That God had to become a human being. And he had to be tortured and he had to die in this way because he was taking our wrong and he was taking our place. And I understand it. But it was a pain that we would never, and I don't think we will ever understand. And how he could bear in 6 hours an eternity of hell, I'll never understand. And how God the Father could be separated in some way from God the Son. I don't know how that could be. And I don't think we'll ever fully understand it. But that's how the King of Kings looked. And that's how the King of Kings lived. And that's how the King of Kings died. And that's how the King of Kings rules. And it's how he wins my heart. And it's how he wins your heart. And it's how he conquers men and women. And it's how he's one day going to conquer the world. It could be that your heart is not really his. Because, I mean, you believe in him and everything. But you haven't really let him have it. You haven't really let him rule it. And maybe it's because something has happened to you. And maybe you've been hurt in some way. Or maybe your life is hurtful to you now. I want to tell you this. It's part of a plan. It is. That does not mean it doesn't hurt you. And it doesn't mean that you will understand it. You may never understand it. But he's a king. And it's how he's winning you. And I would just encourage you to let him have your heart. Lord Jesus Christ, we love you. And we thank you. And we thank you for the fact that you you have conquered our heart by your pain and by your blood and by your love and by your rule. And we want you to have all of it. We don't want to hold back anymore. We want you to have all of our heart. We love you and praise you.
For more information about Christ Community Church in Oak Ridge, including staff blogs, ministries we love and support, or just to connect with us, you can find us on the web at c3oakridge.org.